Hello, and welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Now grab a cup of coffee, sit back and enjoy some more of Adventure Number 8 by Jim Chappelle, and then we'll get on with today's show.
Good morning, and welcome to Community Conversations. This is your host, Phil Huff, and again with me, my co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Well, good morning, Phil. We both tried to begin the good morning introduction together. We'll have to work on that. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing as we ease into October? I'm enjoying fall weather.
I am too. I'm enjoying it, and I think that the amphibians and reptiles are going to sleep because I have a short story to tell you about that. I was in my back bedroom hallway the other day, and what I looked down, and what did I see, Phil, but a small tree frog. But this was no normal small tree frog, because this poor frog had turned into kind of a gummy tree frog. It looked like he'd been in the house too long,
What was in that wildfire smoke drifting over from Oregon?
Yeah, I don't know, but this poor little guy looked like he was not long for the world, and here's where it gets interesting. I was getting ready to either put him in the trash can or maybe try and just set him outside, and I decided to set him in a little dish of water, and here's the interesting part, Phil. That little guy, in about 3 hours, rehydrated and hopped away. Did you know frogs could do that?
Oh, yeah. Not toads, but frogs, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. It was pretty neat. It was like a Lazarus frog.
I think there's some fairy tales along those lines, and that may be something that we can talk to some of our guests about today, some of the movies and entertainment and events that are coming up that have fantastical stories in them.
So true. Well, our guest this morning and our topic this morning is the Panada Theater, a local favorite, of course, for residents of Sandpoint and the region, really. And we're going to be talking about some of their upcoming events, what's happening, their annual meeting. And before we begin, I'd like to introduce our guests who are going to help us with that. So we're going to start with you each, and I'll ask you to say good morning so that we recognize your voices. Good morning, Foster Klein. Foster is the board secretary for Panada. Good morning, Foster.
Good morning.
Yes, good to have you. And we also have Teresa Pesci. Teresa is a relatively new board member. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Nice to have you. And finally, a guest who's joined us numerous times and always has plenty to tell us about the Panada, a longtime employee, the executive director. Good morning, Patricia Walker.
Good morning.
Great to have you.
Nice to be here. It's so different to not see your faces, but I still get the treat of seeing you on the screen a little bit. So thanks for having us.
Yeah, unfortunately, that doesn't translate well for our listeners. We are only able to broadcast the audio portion.
But I know, right?
The beaming faces.
You ruined my thing, though. I used to say I had a face for radio, but now you got my face and my voice on a Zoom call. So,
for first-time listeners who might not be familiar, why don't we do a brief check-in with each of you a little bit about your history and particularly your association with the Panada Theater. So, Patricia, why don't we start with you?
So I've been the executive director for 6 years and arrived here. The board had tried to take the task on themselves and found it a bit insurmountable. So I was brought on in the end of July. And we've done a lot of great things since then. Nobody quite anticipated the tumultuous things that have happened in recent, but it's definitely been a full experience at the Panada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And Foster, you are next on our list. Tell us how you came to be involved with the Panada.
Well, I came on about a year and a half ago. Patricia asked for me to come aboard, and I just have to say that under her leadership, when we have all this COVID stuff going on, the Panada has done extremely well compared to a lot of nonprofits, and it's just been a pleasure to be on the board and see the Panada basically staying alive and really, as much as can be said, flowering during really tough times. And we're looking forward now massively to having a great turnout for our annual membership meeting. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
We want to get into all those topics and more, but let's find a little bit more about our third guest, Teresa, and then we can start unpacking some of that stuff.
Well, my experience with the Panada was producing plays there because I had my own production company at the time. And well, I just love the Panada. I'm a community member who is passionate about theater, and I think it's the most gorgeous place I've ever been in. I've been in a lot of theaters, and they truly do not have the spirit or the beauty of the Panada. And during these tough times, I've been amazed at the leadership behind the scenes who has kept it going. That's a challenge even in good times in community theater. So when I found on their website that there was an invitation to join the board, I thought I'd try, and as a matter of fact, I'm a little bit surprised I made it. There's fantastically qualified people on the board, but I'm glad that I did, and my passion for this is to see theater blossom back and to see fundraising blossom back, because the Panada is important to this community. It's not a separate thing. They feel very unified with the Panada, and they want to come back, and we want to have them back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, what a great way to talk about the Panada. And, you know, the Panada's had quite a history here in Sandpoint. It's had ups and downs. It's needed renovation, ongoing renovations, and it's now surviving in the time of COVID. But would you like to give us a bit of history before we jump into what's happening now during COVID and with upcoming events?
Are you calling on me? Or okay. So rescued by the community in 1985, it had some prior attempts to rescue it, but it was in a family for a long time and could easily have gone away without community support. So community support's been the driving force since 1927, when it opened as a community theater. It was always a vaudevillian theater, so it's always had a wide variety of things happen. I think that's how we have kept alive a little bit. I know when I got there weren't as many movies or going on, and the other thing I was tasked with when I arrived was that community theater had died down. And so we started the Panada Playhouse Players, and that has just grown tremendously over the last few years. We've done dinner theater, stage theater, musicals. We've done it all. So there's many ways that we try to keep that magic alive on the stage of the Panada through the movies, the concerts, the ballet, all those things that we all miss seeing in person right now.
So that's a great segue. COVID struck, and it's no surprise to anyone here locally that it's hit our performing arts and our big event venues particularly hard. Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us what it actually did and what you're doing about it.
So we had already cast for the upcoming play Clue. We already obtained the rights to perform it, and we were in the midst of doing rehearsals and read-throughs for the very beginning production part of it when COVID hit. And back then it was, maybe it'll be a couple of months and we'll all be through it. And so we have limped through rehearsals. The original ones were done via Zoom when we all had to go into lockdown. And then we had a member of our cast test positive, and so we didn't have anybody in the theater for 2 weeks. So Clue is the upcoming production of the Panada Playhouse Players, and it has truly been a fight to get it to the stage. But it's one of those things, you know, you can sit at your home. We all sat at home watching our share of movies, but you can't replace live theater. So we're excited that our first event back in this month of October is live theater. And then later in the month, we have a live concert. But in order to stay alive, we did try online virtual movies, and we did a really great support network of having the community. We did an outreach in the local media, and we did an outreach via the mail. And the support has been tremendous. We have a lot of arts organizations going under right now and not able to survive. And we feel really fortunate that we were really conservative and have kept the doors. They're locked, but they're open, shall we say. And we're just now starting to get some staff back, but we didn't waste any time while we were on that brief period. We did some minor renovations to the theater, and we also installed a new customer system so we can record people who are loyal to the Panada and start doing rewards for customer loyalty. So that computer transition would have been difficult during our busy season, but we've had some time to put it into place. So we've been busy waiting for you all to come back.
Very good. Patricia, Clue is going to be your first, as I understand it, the first live event. And how will that work with COVID? Will seating be different than we're used to?
So we started when we tried to do a couple of movies a couple of months back. We already had every other row taped off. And then because there's not a break in the rows, you have to find those people you're safe to be with, and then otherwise kind of distance yourselves a bit. In a 500 seat theater, typically not a problem to find extra room. So, and the rights to Clue, they were kind enough to allow us a little less on the royalties because they knew we had to lock our seating down a bit. So there's a little bit of, we're trusting you to make yourself safe, and we've taped off every other row to assist with that.
And so how do you see movies going forward?
The same, although we've decided not to put a full schedule out just yet because we didn't have much of a turnout when we launched it before. And so, you know, movies are not usually a problem because they're easy to space out and you can watch them from everywhere. And for Clue, we're going to mic all of the actors so you can sit virtually anywhere, even if it's in the back. And then we have a concert later that in October on Halloween. And same thing, we're going to let you distance yourselves and keep that seating every other.
I think one of the interesting things about the movie industry in general, interesting, sad, tragic, is the impact that the virus has had on production and the paucity of new movies that are in the tube for release. That seems like it's starting to lift some.
Some, and then they pulled it back again. Because the big theaters can't open, and so they don't want to do that. And then the other thing that changed that was sad in the movie industry is now everything just instantly goes to video on demand, and you can pay extra and get it when it comes out. And so at the Panada, we try to make it an experience whenever possible, we let you dress up, or, you know, we've had some theme-based movies. We're trying to keep the fun in movie going, but part of it at the Panada is that people hang out and talk, and they get to be with their friends, and that's a bit of a challenge at the moment, too, so... the movie part's going to be a little slow coming back,
front,
I think.
The front lobby is small for trying to social distance.
It is.
I wonder, just as someone who loves movies, if this eventually creates more opportunities for local or small production filmmakers?
You know, we've always celebrated local and small production, so we are happy to keep doing that. The problem is the film crews. Now Hollywood has made some adjustments on how they can be together and when they can be together. And we might still see films, but it's going to impact the next year of films, the next year and a half probably, because there were some in the can that can come out, but there's not any new production right now. So it's going to be an unusual challenge.
Well, it seems to me it's a perfect time to pull out some of our favorite old movies. One that I had in mind was RBG, which we saw last year, partially sponsored by KRFY. What a great movie.
So that helps when an organization applies for the rights. If we just show it, we pay anywhere from $250 to $450 per show. So if you divide 450 out of the, you know, 20 to 60 people that attend, it, you know, we don't have any money to put at risk right now. If we could show old movies, I would do it all the time, but we have to pay royalties when we show them to the public. So that's our dilemma in that. We've had a lot of 80s films be requested, actually. And so if we can get some sponsorship maybe going for a few of those, that would be great. I would love to re-show that film in particular. You know, now that she's passed, it's even a, you know, more to celebrate what she brought to our nation. And so that would be a great one to put on that. I know there were two different ones of her done, so.
Very timely, and to a lot of nonprofit folks are listening, and would a nonprofit get a reduction in the licensing fees or rates, perhaps?
Yeah, sometimes a nonprofit that's not a theater can get it greatly reduced, if not even free, depending on available income.
Well, there's an alert for all of KRFY's nonprofit underwriters.
Right. Exactly. And even some business underwriters that feel passionate about something, you know, a perfect way to segue. And the other thing that's still continuing are the art house films. So they don't get as much press, but it's always something that we try to give a balance of. We've had more foreign films in the last 2.5 years than they had in the previous 7 or 8, I believe they counted back. So
I would love to see my favorite indie movie from the 70s on the big screen again, Harold and Maude.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We might have to track down and see how much they charge for that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is. Well, we could talk about movies all morning, I think, but we haven't given our two other guests, Foster Klein and Teresa Pesci, a chance to tell us about a very big event that's coming up, and it's your annual meeting. Foster, would you like to start? And Teresa, you can chime in.
Well, the annual meeting is going to be a really enjoyable event because we have some great door prizes, and I mean they're really good door prizes, and we're going to have social distancing. We're going to be very careful as far as safety is concerned. The community can meet the new board members. People be given an opportunity to sign up for the various committees. You know, the thing that's made the Panada work is the sort of the sweat equity and monetary equity, if you want to call it that, that the community gives. And I think this annual meeting is going to be an opportunity for people to get really excited about the Panada and excited about the new board members. And of course, they'll be voting. The board members simply put forth a slate of candidates, and the community is empowered to vote on those people and say, yeah, these look like good people. And they all talk and present about their passion about the Panada, why they wanted to be board members, what they see for the future of the Panada, what their past experience is, what their skill set is. So I think people are going to be very excited about the Panada at this meeting.
Does this mean that this will be when Teresa is actually voted in, or Teresa, were you a board member prior to this annual meeting?
That's a technicality. Allow Foster to explain it.
All right. No,
well, we have interim board members, and an interim board member still is voted in at the annual meeting. So they're filling a slot of a previous board member. So the community has input on interim board members, and we have three. So the community can see people like Teresa and evaluate their skill set and what they bring and be excited about it.
Neat. Well, Teresa, why don't you tell us about the details of the meeting, the where, the when, and maybe a little more about what's going to happen?
Well, again, I would like to defer the details of that to Foster. If the one thing that I can contribute, and I'll just throw it in there now, is that Patricia was talking about the future of film, and it is recently people in due to quarantine, boy, they've gotten a lot of film at home. And I think possibly it's going to be a wonderful thing that the Panada can have a renaissance of theater, live theater. It's an entirely different thing. They will want to get out of the house like never before, and we can have a renaissance of that. I'm looking forward to that. I think it's a golden chance for theater live on the stage. I think it will be a breath of air that goes into that for the Panada players, for instance, and others who wish to have productions.
And the nice thing about your saying that, Teresa, is you had experience doing that in the past. I mean, you have sort of a track record of exciting community productions that have just ignited the excitement in communities and helped the various theaters financially to boot.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, let's circle back to the details of the meeting so that listeners will know what and where to attend. Who would like to share that?
Well, Patricia, you fill in what I missed, but as I understand, people are going to be coming in, and one of the things that they're going to get there that's really exciting is their new cards, the membership cards, the cards for the people that, I'm trying to think of the name, Patricia, the name of the patron memberships and memberships of those VIPs that have helped the Panada. So these cards are going to be very helpful for keeping track of who sees what movies and how people have supported the Panada. So those will be handed out. All of the, as I said, all the board members will, the new board members will be present themselves and people will be able to vote. There'll be an opportunity for people to come on the committees. There'll be door prizes, a lot of door prizes, I think. We'll have a plethora of good door prizes. So I think that's, and people will meet each other and see who in this community is excited about supporting and helping the Panada. So we expect a really good turnout. Patricia is going to, of course, present her director's report, and Terry Perdini will give a financial rundown of where the Panada stands financially, which I'm happy to say under Patricia's leadership has done pretty darn well. What have I left out, Patricia?
So it's October 17th at 6 p.m. And this particular year has been a transition of memberships. So I think maybe just mentioning what those memberships are. We have loyalty cards for $10 that are open to anybody that's a patron of the Panada and wants to track their attendance. And so those are the loyalty cards. Those are just $10. And if you are a member of any standing, then you get one of those for free. And so members are $60 for a general membership and then $1,200 for a VIP membership. And VIP stands for very important Panada sustainers. And so the Panada sustainers are the people who make sure that we have operating. And we have a goal of how many of those we need to reach out to and secure those memberships so that those people are the, what you might say, the the supporting level of the Panada and all that happens. So that when these little ebbs and flows happen, that we are not so nervous. But, you know, last year our revenue was around $20,000 a month, and we went to $1,000 a month revenue during COVID. So you can see kind of where the impact has been and how important it is that we have the sustaining people. So those are the three things that that card relates to, and you can fill out to get those online, or you can do that that night at the theater. And if you don't feel safe coming out, we want to make sure that we are, I'm not sure yet if it's going to be done via Zoom or a Facebook Live, probably a Facebook Live, so stay tuned. But we're going to offer a virtual way for you to attend the meeting so you can see what's happening and make sure that you're in the know.
And that's going to be in the little theater, like Times Past?
Big, no, it has to be in the, big theater. Okay. There's no way to socially distance.
Yeah, the little theater.
Yeah, we have had very limited things in the little theater because it's just no way to spread people out.
So looking ahead, and you know, nobody has that crystal ball to know exactly how things play out this winter, but if you had a guess at what your event schedule might look like through the winter?
I think it's going to be pretty slim because we've had so many cancellations. And we have a few groups that are just kind of in a holding pattern to see how it is. But like large group events, POACS, Performing Arts Season, they had a concert scheduled and they had the Nutcracker scheduled, and they've had to reschedule all of that or cancel. And so, you know, we're going to miss a few things. We don't know yet what January is going to look like. We did have somebody cancel something in February. So, I think the world's still in that holding pattern of how we best to help each other right now and make sure that we're doing it safely. We have had, since we started the movies and events, an entry and an exit system to help people space. But, you know, there's still only one lobby, like you say, it's only so big. So we have to take that into consideration as well.
But, Patricia?
Yes.
Patricia, do we know when the Shook Sisters... I guess that's one of the things that could be the exact date could be a little bit up in the air, but where does that stand now?
Well, and they want to do it virtual, and it was still broadcast on the day of their event on the Saturday, and we're working to secure a stronger internet connection so that we don't have any lulls in the action, but that's where we're at with that. More to be announced, but it will still be in November during their giving concert, and we're just trying to figure out how to do that safely. Won't be in person though.
Our very best wishes, and as we get closer to that and you have more information, feel free to come back on the show, and especially if we can zoom in the Shook Twins and get them to play a little music, it'll be a fun show.
Yeah, that'd be great. I don't think they'd have any problem at all with that, so.
No. Coming back to Patricia, coming back to live concerts for a minute, and my notes, I have Brittany Jean concert at Halloween. Yes. How's that going to work? How'll that be different from
She was actually had rented the little theater because we're a stop on her routing tour. She's a Nashville artist, and so we switched her into the main theater because of the distancing. And so it's on Halloween, and if you're not into the trick-or-treating thing or you don't feel safe, you know, standing at your door doing that kind of thing, come stick some candy on the doorstep and come out to that concert. And that details on our www.canada.org website, same as Clue. So.
Good. Well, I think we're winding through most of the checklist of things to talk about. Before we go, though, closing thoughts or things we've missed that you wanted to talk about, and maybe
I just wanted to briefly mention Clue again because there's a stellar cast and you're gonna just love that production. It is so fun to watch the rehearsals. Kate McAllister's in there, Andrew Sorg just moved back to the area and he's in there, Dean Thomas does a masterful job as the butler. It's amazing. And then the Panada Playhouse players have been lucky to have Amy Sherman come back again, and a couple of others that are just, they, every time we've done a production lately, they've been key in it, and they're big, their fan base is big. So I think it's going to be a great production, and there's four different times you can attend. So you can space out accordingly on that, and we'll only sell a certain amount of tickets for each show.
So give us the details, the dates and times.
So 22nd is the date that it starts. The evening shows are at 2:30, and then there's one matinee performance at 7:30, and there's one matinee performance at 2:30. Okay. And all that's on our website. You can buy tickets. I would recommend you buy tickets just because we are going to have to do some limited seating. And so if you could get your tickets early, that would be fantastic. But let's continue to celebrate what makes Sandpoint great and thrive, and come watch some more theater. Our last production of Love Letters was just packed. And so I'm looking forward to having another great production.
Okay. Well, something to look forward to. And I would have to think that's a family-friendly play if kids were able to go to. What a great play, Clue. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we are winding up, and I want to thank the three of you, Foster Klein, Board Secretary, Teresa Pesci, Board Member, and finally Patricia Walker, Executive Director from the Panada, for joining us and telling us about what's been going on and what's coming up. It was a great interview. Thank all three of you.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're welcome. So this has been KRFY Community Conversations, an alternative to our live morning shows. I want to thank listeners for joining us and hope you'll continue tuning in each Tuesday. Have a great week.